With us this morning. So I realize if you're a Mount Carmel member, you know this guy very well. If you're not, give me just a moment to explain my relationship and friendship with Jay. The first time Jamie and I came to Mount Carmel on a visit, we actually came and spent time with Jay and his wife Jennifer. They took us on a horse ride. And having no idea that we would one day be fellow servants of the Lord here at Mount Carmel. But in our time here, Jay has become such a very dear friend of mine. He's a tough guy. You don't want to mess with Jay. He's a former Marine that will he could tear you up with his bare hands. And he's also into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. That's a passion, right? You love that.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. So Jay hurt his knee, so he's not able to do it right now. And he invited me to one of his practices once, and I went excited because I grew up wrestling, and I decided I didn't like jiu-jitsu nearly as much as I liked wrestling because I went home with scars all over my face, and it was one of those things, Jay, where I couldn't even grip my steering wheel after that first practice. So I went once and told him I'll just cheer for him from now on. But Just to give you an understanding, it was about 20 days ago now, and a little bit longer than that when they found out, but 20 days ago, Jay took his wife Jennifer to UVA Hospital up in Charlottesville for her to begin a battle with leukemia. Jay, and I'll let Jay give you an update on Jennifer's condition in just a moment. But as a church family, we rallied around Jennifer, been lifting her and Jay, and you have two great kids, and Philip. No, I'm just kidding. Daniel and Philip and Lainey, just some wonderful children, and what a great family. And through the years, Jay has been a friend to me. He's been somebody that I have been able to find confidence in. He's been an encouragement to me. And this man is an incredible knowledge of the Bible and is a great Bible teacher. He works with our youth group, and my two boys would rather listen to Jay Roy teach the Bible than anybody else. He has a way of teaching, talking, applying scripture to our lives, and it was just amazing. And on Friday, I was at Jay's home, and the Lord had prevented me from finding peace about a message this week. We were going to pre-record our Sunday service, and actually I was just going to try to join you on Facebook and be able to interact a little bit, and I had told Pastor Micah, I'll record it on Thursday. I couldn't record it on Thursday because the Lord wouldn't give me peace. Friday, I literally spent all day Friday in my office or coming to the auditorium and speaking to this camera, trying to come up with whatever it is the Lord would lead, and the Lord just did not give me peace. Friday, I went over to Jay's home after getting an update on Jennifer's condition after a seven-day, 24-hour feed of chemotherapy. And I sat in his room, or in his home, and for the second time on Friday, the Lord said, I want Jay to speak on Sunday. Well, one, that gave me an understanding of why he wouldn't give me peace. But two, I didn't want to ask this man, who was carrying a great burden of his wife in the UVA hospital all alone, and also Monday, his mother passed away from the COVID-19. She was in a full care nursing home in our area here and had contracted COVID the week before, and Monday Jay got news that his mom had passed away. So I'm sitting in the living room with this man knowing that his mom is no longer here, and that was your final immediate relative. So Jay's brother and father had already passed, and now his mom passed. He's miles and miles away, disconnected from his wife, who I know you want to be with and hold her hand while she's there and care for her. And the Lord just said, ask Jay to speak on Sunday. And I just said, God, I can't do that to this man. So I left the house, spent some extra time Friday evening thinking, what does God want me to say? And I had a great plan that I woke up with Sunday morning, and the Lord said, no. So I finally called Jay. He was on his way Saturday morning to Charlottesville yesterday, and said, Jay, I'm sorry to ask you this. I know you got so much going on, but the Lord wants me to have you speak to our church on Sunday. And is that something you'd be willing to do? And knowing the man that he is, of course he said yes, and said that he would do whatever God wants. And so honestly, I don't really even know what Jay has to share. I don't know what the Lord has specifically laid on his heart. But I do know that we as a church family, and for those of you looking on, God's going to do something special today. And he's going to do something special through a servant of his that I know loves and trusts in God in spite of the circumstances. Think of how we're complaining about the fact that we have to sit at home. How bad is that? When Jay said goodbye to his mom, struggling to be separated from his wife right now. And let's just bow and have a word of prayer. And after prayer, Jay, I look forward to whatever it is the Lord has laid on your heart today. So, Father, I thank you for the promises that you give us that, well, one, we're never going to be alone. And two, that we do know that even in the midst of circumstances, we know that it's a part of your sovereign plan for our life to see your glory experienced in ways we never could. And Lord, I thank you for this man that you have brought into my life as a friend, as a mentor, as a counselor, as someone to guide me and point me closer to who you are. And Lord, I just pray that you would use Jay however you desire, but as a vessel in your hands to be able to speak truth to my heart, to the hearts of your people, your church right here. And Father, I thank you for what you're already going to do. We believe you will do amazing and miraculous things in hearts this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Last few weeks have been a little difficult, to say the least. But I want to tell you a little bit what's going on with Jennifer, just so you kind of have an idea and know how to pray about it. She did finish that very first round of chemo after discovering that she had leukemia on April. I took her on April 14th, that Tuesday, and then not long after that, the results came back that she had leukemia. She had endured 7 days of 24/7 chemo, and then we had to wait another week to find out how well that chemo worked. We just found out that she would need another 5 days of chemo. The positive side of that, which we tend to focus on, is that the first round did do quite a lot of good. It did knock down the cancer level quite a bit. And we're looking forward to this next 5 days of completing that getting rid of cancer, that this chemo will work. So she has 5 more days. She just started it yesterday, and so really be praying about that. The chemo has a very negative effect on her physically. She has many various symptoms that range from painful to very uncomfortable. And in her circumstance of being alone, no one to really hold her hand or to be there with her, makes this this trial very, very difficult for her. So really be praying about that too. We FaceTime a lot. We get on these phones, and technology has allowed us to do things we never could have done before. So very very thankful for that. Really, really are. So be praying for Jennifer in those ways, please. Be praying for the kids, as they're obviously very, very concerned about that. And also, continue to pray for me, what's going on with me. I think going through this, I didn't see it coming. I was taken completely by surprise that something like this would come into our lives. Never saw this coming. I feel like I'm a guy who's always kind of prepared for just about anything. Couldn't have prepared for this in no way. I feel like when things do come into my life, I take that the Marine Corps mindset, adapt, improvise, and overcome, and just take care of it. Well, there's really nothing I can do. And folks ask me every day, what can we do for you? Well, I wish there was something I could say, but I can't even find out what I'm supposed to do. I can't even be with Jennifer. And then when I found out last Friday that my mom was sick and would likely pass away, that there's nothing I could do there either. I couldn't go be with her. The facility was locked down. Even in that situation, they wouldn't allow me in. So I got to a point where there was nothing I could do. I mean, the Lord, it's all on him. It really just comes down to what God will do and what God can do. And I was struggling. I was really struggling. I was asking all the wrong questions, asking wrong questions of God, asking wrong questions of myself, and I just didn't really understand what it was I was supposed to do. I did find God did start speaking to me through some different things, and I began to see past my circumstances. And I think that Bible study that I helped lead on Zoom was about seeing past your circumstances. So those lessons were preparing, you know, for what I would have to endure, and what Jennifer's having to endure, and really all the church family. I couldn't be more thankful for the generosity and the support that the church is showing right now, and not just the church, but my coworkers at Lord Fairfax Community College, tremendous outpouring of support, and our Jennifer's coworkers at the clinic, just blown away by what they're doing. And then there's so many folks that I didn't even really know them or didn't know them well, and wow, the generosity, and again, the prayer and the support and the cards and the text messages, it's just so much. It's very, very overwhelming and yet very, very encouraging. It's done so much good, and I can see how God is using all of that to bring our attention off of our circumstances and back on Him. But I want to share with you the very significant things, what it was that truly started making a difference. But I wanted to kind of tell a story first about when Daniel was first born. This was 23 years ago now. We had to take him for his shots afterwards. And if you've ever taken your child in to get a shot, you know, where they give them that vaccine in the leg, you know, all the shots you're going to have when you're a kid. Jennifer didn't want to do it because it was our first son, first shot, super scary. You know, it was going to hurt, and he was going to cry a lot. And so I went in, I took Daniel in, I had him on my lap, and I was holding on to him and anticipating that, you know, this was going to be difficult. You know, it was going to hurt him. And but I knew it was for his good, and he had to have that, and he had no choice about being in that circumstance. You know, I took him there, and I placed him on my lap, and I held on to him. Then I let some stranger push a needle into his leg and inject the vaccine. He had no clue what was going on. He only looked up at me, tears start welling up in his eyes, and he just starts crying, and at the time, he couldn't even speak. He didn't have the words. He didn't know what to say. He didn't know what to ask. He was just looking up at me, and why are you letting this happen right now? Why would you do this to me? Why aren't you protecting me? Why aren't you keeping this from me? But I know, as a father, that without this, something worse would happen. He needs that vaccination. So I know most of you can relate to the story if you have children, and you can probably choose another story in your life or some other thing that's happened to kind of illustrate the same thing I'm talking about. As a parent, you know what's best. You know all this information, but the child does not, and it's too difficult to explain in the time. So back to how God used that same story or that illustration into what's happening at the moment. And I'd put a book in my Amazon cart that I wanted to read. It's called The Red Sea Rules. And I think Pastor brought it up, or someone did, said, yeah, it'd be a good book to read. But I never ordered the book. And it was just sitting in the cart. And so when Jennifer was in the hospital, I was looking for something to read. And I'm like, oh, there's that book. And so I ordered the book. And then a few days later, that book showed up. But at that point in time, my mom had come sick, and I just didn't feel like reading anything. I was just, you know, just stuck. You know, the world was just seemed to be swirling all around me, all these things happening out of my control. And a couple days after that, I grabbed that book, and I cracked it open, and I started reading. I did not get far. I didn't get far in the very first chapter. The first few words of that chapter, It broke me. It broke me in a way that, you know, I probably wept for 20 minutes, just coming to this realization of, you know, what God is doing in my life at the moment is what I was doing for my son back then, is that he had me. He had me this whole time. So I want to read to you the words that were quoted in this book. The author of the book is Robert Morgan, but he's quoting C.H. McIntosh, and he's speaking about the Red Sea. And if you're familiar with the Red Sea, and the Israelites fleeing Egypt, and they come up to that sea, that sea being before them. The title of this chapter is called Cul-de-Sacs, and you're familiar with a cul-de-sac is when you get to the end of a lane and it's just a circle, and you either have to come back out or you're stuck. But this is what he said: the sea was before them, Pharaoh's army behind them, and the mountain around them. In all this, be it observed, permitted, and ordered of God. And I was just so struck that I was in this moment, and that God had it all under his control, just like he did for them in that time. No matter how bad it may seem, you know, an army on one side, mountains all around, there's no escape. There's no control. There's nothing they could do to save themselves or to take themselves out of that moment. Yep, there they were. And if you just focus on your circumstances, I can't see a way out. There is nothing I can do about it. But if I look to God and I look up, well, my eyes get off my circumstances and I realize, wait a second, he's the creator of the universe. God is love. Just like when Daniel was sitting on my lap that day, he went in to get that shot and he looked up at me and he knew I had him. He didn't understand the circumstance. He didn't understand the pain that he was going through. And I couldn't explain it to him at the time, but he still trusted that I had him. And that takes me back to a verse. I really want to share this verse with you. Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before them, and shall say, destroy them. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. That moment that God allowed me to be there with Daniel, to hold him in my arms where I would never let him go and just hug him and hold him. This is what God's doing in this time now with my family, with Jennifer, you know, in a very special way. And even though he hasn't taken all of this away in a way that we would expect, he inserts himself in just these very special ways that you just don't see coming. Yesterday, Jennifer let me know that she cut her hair off. And it's because she was losing it. All her hair was falling out. And you can imagine how, you know, traumatic and, you know, that can be, you know, especially for a woman, you know, to have to cut her hair off. And I knew that was coming, and she did too. We were hoping she could do it at home, but it was just coming out too fast, so she decided to do it then. And she even said at one point that she just had to control something, and so she decided to take her own hair off. And we had planned on ordering the nice head coverings, you know, for her to wear during that time, but she told me to hold off because there are people who donate them there to the hospital, and they had plenty there, and she would use one of those. So I had held off, and I didn't buy anything. She gets her hair cut off, and then the nurses tell them, oh, we don't have any. And so she didn't have anything to put on her head. And I was just getting ready to walk out the door to get in the car to go to Charlottesville to take her a care package. And I said, well, I'll grab a couple bandanas real quick, and I'll order something on Amazon today, and I'll bring it to you. What I didn't know, and I did not realize, because I never looked in this little gift bag that Jamie Hassey left on my car one day. She didn't even knock on the door or anything. I walk outside, and there's this little bitty gift bag, and it's decorated up a little bit, and it was sitting on top of my car. And I didn't even look in it. I wanted it to be a surprise for Jennifer. I had no idea what was in this bag. And so I put that in the care package. I put the bandanas in there. You know, and they're old bandanas. They're not even new. They were just some things I had laying around the house. And so I tossed them in there because she needed something. And I would, you know, overnight something to her if I had to, you know. So I sent this package up, you know, we dropped off the hospital. They carried it up to her. And then she calls me. And we talk, and she's got the bandana on. She put that on right away, and we have a good conversation. And then she calls me later, and I said, "Hey, did you ever see what was in the gift bag with from Jamie?" And what she had done was she put the bandana on, and she ate lunch, and so there's some time had passed. We didn't know what was in that gift bag, and so she goes over, and she opens it up, and wow, God had laid it on Jamie's heart to buy her some of those nice head coverings for this time. Jamie had no idea that Jennifer was cutting her hair. This was all done, I believe that God had his hand in this. God had led Jamie to do this and for the coverings not to be there at the hospital. I mean, I think God wanted to show himself in a special, sweet way, you know, in a way that, you know, we would never expect. And those things have been happening all along. I did order some of those coverings because I didn't know Jamie had placed those in that gift bag. But wow, what a terrific feeling knowing that. Pastor posted a verse. He shared a verse out on Facebook today about the birds and the things in nature and how God cares for every one of those little things. Well, why wouldn't he care for you, right? And how special that was. And that's exactly what this is. It's like God is even, he's letting us know that he's got this. And there's a little thing. It's just like when I left that day after giving Daniel that shot, after Daniel got that shot, he got a sucker or an ice cream. I know we got him a sweet treat. I don't remember specifically what it was, but it was in that little thing. It didn't take away the shot. It didn't make the pain go away. It just gave him some reassurance that I'm still meeting his needs. I'm still finding some sweet way to show him that I'm there and that I love him. And God has been doing that through the church, through our friends, my coworkers, her coworkers, and each and every person who sends a text message or a card or some special thing. People have been giving money. That was a total surprise. Didn't see that coming. It's just so many little things that are happening, and you realize that the eternal God is our refuge, and that underneath are the everlasting arms. Amen. And that's pretty much what God's been laying on my heart over this time. And it's the same, all this is even with my mom. And and I'll tell you another little thing God did. With my mom passing away, I didn't get to see her there at the end. I was not allowed. I went to the funeral home. And Dal McGrady, I don't know if he's the second, third, fourth. I know there's a whole bunch of Dal McGradys. If you know the McGradys running Bradley's Funeral Home, they're a special family, and I love them very much. But I graduated with Dal. He's a good friend of mine. And had I had to, take care of my mom during a time when no one else could be there with me, when we couldn't have a proper funeral and all these things that kind of help you have closure and get through this. Had God not chosen Dal to be there at that moment, it would have been so much more difficult. If I had to do this with someone I had never met before, which many times you have to do with a passing of a loved one. But no, Dal has placed a very special man in his community that just really knows how to love people. And Dal was just very special in that day. So if you see him, tell him thank you for me. That was another very special, sweet way that God was just letting me know, I've got this. I have control of everything that's going on. So thank you to all of you that when God lays something on your heart, you do it. Not just for me. There are so many people in our church and in our community that are suffering during this time. This COVID-19 has impacted everyone. Not just us. Every single person is. I mean, here we are in a church, speaking to you through a camera, And so, yeah, it's affected all of our relationships. So just keep praying about that. Do what God asks you to do and find Him, not through your circumstances, but above your circumstances. If you just look at these circumstances, you just don't see the Lord. But if you see the Lord, the circumstances, they begin to come down.
It's amazing, because I'll be honest with you, when I was preparing a message earlier this week, what I was struggling with, Jay, was I feel like sometimes as a pastor, what I want to do for a church that's hurting, for a church that's struggling, is I want to get, and it's so crazy you said that, I want to get above the circumstances to remind them of the goodness of God that we see in the gospel so clearly. And yet I know it's also there are church members whose hearts are hurting today, and I want, you almost have to come down to the ground as well. But there was a book that I read a number of years ago called The Meaning of Marriage by Tim Keller. That book to me has transformed my understanding of marriage, because it doesn't go day-to-day practicality on take flowers to your wife, here's how to apologize, here's how to take care of disagreements. It was a book that raised way above the day-to-day of marriage, and it explained what I, as a husband, I'm supposed to be Christ to my wife, to love her the way Christ loved her. And he took time to explain the way Christ loved me and the church. I'm supposed to forgive my wife the way Christ forgave me. I'm supposed to be merciful to my wife the way Christ was merciful to me. And for the first time, I looked at marriage not just as a, how do I get through today? And I'll be real honest with you. I bought some apology flowers this week for my wife. My spirit and my words said some things to my wife that I regretted the next day. And I went and bought a card and some flowers. But that's not going to help me the next argument. What will help me is knowing that God, I'm supposed to be Jesus, and to take everything, willing to lay my life down. And I was just struggling in a message on how to take the glories of God in the gospel and get our eyes off of today, to see what Christ, how He has us in control, but yet to realize that He's got it all in control. That means He's got us today. And you did that so perfectly. You did exactly what I knew that I could not do. Thank you for being a vessel to our church and to you. And boy, if I could just encourage you, as you heard Jay mention numbers of times, that people have been an encouragement to their family. God has someone for you to be an encouragement to today. Whether it's a phone call, man, maybe when this is over, you just pray and ask God, who can I call to be an encouragement to? And you call them and just say, I just wanted to talk with you, see how you're doing, and pray with you. You have no idea what that would mean to somebody who may be struggling today. Or maybe God wants you to send a text to a few people and just be an encouragement to them. Maybe He really does want you to send some money to someone. And you know, it's so easy to think, I've got to save for myself because I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Yeah, but He does. And when He moves in your heart to be generous to someone, it's because He was generous to us. And He will continue to be generous to us. We can't be selfish with what we have. I'm so grateful for the time that you got to share with us, Jay. And in just a moment, actually, Pastor Mike is behind the microphones. And Pastor Mike, I'm going to ask if you would come around here. I'm going to give you my microphone. And I want you to close in prayer and lead in a specific prayer for Jennifer, if you wouldn't mind doing that today. And church family, again, if I could just remind you, let's continue to pray for Jennifer. Pray for Jay, for Philip and Lainey and Daniel and the needs that this family has. But there's just one part of our church family. There's many others who have needs. I think of Denise Butler's four daughters and the struggle that they're having on a regular daily basis. And their mom is incapacitated and yet they're having to care for her outside of the window because of the closure of the nursing home. Let's pray for them. There's people who are far apart from their family right now, people who are living alone and they've been alone. Let's not forget about them and allow God to be able to use you to bring the love of Christ into someone's life. Yeah, that verse you mentioned that I wrote this morning or put on Facebook this morning, sitting at my kitchen table, just realizing those birds aren't worried about one thing today. They're not worried about one thing. All they worry about is coming to this feeder, and they're gonna take. And God is watching them, and He says, "How much more do I care for you?" Mm-hmm. Oh, may we live with the freedom and flight that God sees those birds, and how much more does He see us? And so, church family, let's truly.